following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, hello, Refuge family. How are you guys doing? It's good to be here. It's good to be back in the building. After being out for a couple of weeks, not feeling well, I'm back and I'm feeling good and excited to be here to bring this word with you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this time where we can study your word and see how it applies in our life, may you meet with us and may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last time I actually taught from up here was a few weeks ago on a Saturday night when I got a chance to share. And I shared on the passage in Matthew 5 where Jesus says that you are the salt of the world. And so today I figured I'll pick up from where I left off and hit the next group of verses about being the light of the world. And so in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says this: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So again, just as I had mentioned before, if you had caught the Saturday night that I taught, when he says you are the salt of the earth or you are the light of the world, the you is emphatic. It means that you and you alone. As believers, it is us. We are the light of the world. Now, what does this mean? I mean, the world is in darkness, right? The world is in complete darkness. And people may claim enlightenment, but they're in the dark. Buddhists and others will spend time in meditation and these practices that they claim bring enlightenment. Our country was even birthed out of an era that was called the Enlightenment, but the Age of Enlightenment was actually an era of humanism and rejection of God. It placed philosophy and human reason and thought in positions of authority and began a rejection of the biblical world. But Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." This world is in a state of darkness, and it's not that hard to see the truth of this statement. The world holds as great the things that the Bible speaks against. My wife and I were just watching a medical show, and it was a real-life medical show, a documentary series, and at one point they're all excited that it's Pride Week, and they're all talking about the parade marching right outside the hospital and how exciting it was, and I'm like, Pride Week. First of all, we call it pride, which the Bible labels as a sin, and it's a celebration of a rejection of God's mandate for marriage. So we're talking pride and homosexuality and all these things, and we're celebrating it. And it makes me think of Isaiah 5, verse 20, where it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." But we don't even look at the culture. We can look even at our own politics, the ugliness and wickedness on both sides, the name-calling, the personal attacks, the pride and the arrogance. And then there are the politicians themselves. Darkness is never more evident in this world than it is right now. And Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Now, this isn't necessarily just a passage for the church as a whole or for only certain individuals. Instead, it's a call for each and every believer. Each and every Christian is called to be the light of the world. So, how can we be the light? Remember, the same God who said, "You are the light of the world," also said, "I am the light of the world." In John 8:12, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So we have been given, God has given to us the light. It's him and him alone who gives us his light with which we are to go out and shine in this dark world. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." You were once darkness, and you know, you can look throughout the New Testament and there's passages all over that have those kind of truths of, this is how you once were, but now you are over here. In 1 Corinthians, that you guys were sinners and this kind of sin and this and this and this, and now you've been made new. In Colossians, put off these kind of things and put on these actions. But in here in Ephesians, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord." Now, I know if Jonathan Trask is watching, he's like, yeah, I've been saying this forever with the children's ministry, and they have. The whole fruits of the Spirit there, the bits that he's talking about are they come from the light that is God. They experience that light, and what comes out? Goodness and righteousness and truth and love and joy and peace. And this is what pleases the Lord. So how do we show the light? How do we show this world that we are the light of the world? Well, the first question I have is, what does light do? The first thing it does is expose the darkness and the things that belong to the darkness. Continuing on in Ephesians 5, it says this, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." Now, the world is not even truly aware of the darkness it has until it's exposed to the light. Now, imagine you're driving down a dark road without your headlights on. You're going to be going really slow, right? You're crawling along real slow, trying to see by what, the starlight or the moon? You know, there's no lights around everything. It's hard. You're groping around in the darkness, trying not to hit something, trying to stay where you should. But put your headlights on, and you can see clearly, right? You know where you're going and where little Bambi is, so you don't hit it. And you are the light of the world. Now, the light reveals the darkness and allows you to see instead. You see what's dark, you see what's light, you know where things are. But the second thing that light does is it exposes and reveals the cause of darkness itself. Because the problem with the world, the cause of all of our problems that we have, from racism to violence, from pornography to divorce, from greed to theft, is caused by man's estrangement from God. We have a broken relationship from God, and because of that, we end up sinning more and more. The relationship is broken because of sin, and it continues to cause us to live a life where we look at sin and say, wow, this is just normal. This is the light that we have as believers, though. We have our relationship with God, which can be restored because of the death of Jesus Christ. We are guilty of breaking God's law. Each and every one of us. We've lied. We've stolen. We've committed murder, because the Bible says if you've hated somebody or even said something like, you fool or you idiot, you are guilty and in danger of the fires of hell. But Jesus came down and died. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He committed no crime, broke no law of God, and yet died. Because the penalty of our sins is death, but Jesus paid our penalty to set us free. And this is the light that we have, that we can share this. John chapter 3, the great speech that we have that Jesus gives to Nicodemus, he says this, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." We have the truth of God's forgiveness. We have the truth about his love. We have the truth about his son's death as a payment for our sins. But what do? Unfortunately, we do what Jesus describes here. We light that lamp and we hide it under a basket. We are the light of the world. We live surrounded by people that are groping in the darkness. People that never will have the light apart from the light of Jesus. Listen, this is the light that Jesus left. We are the lights he left behind. We can go out and we can see the world and see the problems that we're facing out there. We can look and we can see the violence that's breaking out. We see the racism that we're dealing with in this country. We see the rise of pornography and divorce in our marriages and failures to stand for what is right. We see politicians on both sides of the aisle that are not living lives that are honoring God. We see this and we're like, God, won't you do something about it? He did, and he will. He died on the cross for our sins, and then he said, now you do what I've called you to do. Be the light. Be the light. Expose the darkness. Expose the darkness of the world. Call sin, sin. Call evil, evil. Celebrate that which is good. Share the gospel. If we're the light of the world and we know that people are groping around in the darkness trying to figure things out and we keep the light for ourselves, I'm going to call that evil as well. We're going to be over here. We're going to do our thing. The world, they're going to hell in the handbasket. We're okay though because we've got the light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, but not too bright. No. Let it shine brightly in the darkness. God has set us here to be that light. One of my all-time favorite musicians is Keith Green. And one of his songs is Asleep in the Light. And he says, oh, can't you see such sin? The world is sleeping in the dark, that the church just can't fight because it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave and you can't even get out of bed. So my encouragement is to not be like this in the song, this very true accusation from I'd call him a modern day prophet, really. But go and be the light of the world. Don't hide it. Be that town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Be that lamp that's not placed under a bowl. I'm not going to be saying, oh, let's turn off all these lights over here. No, let the light shine. And remember, it is each one of us. It's not just the church. It's not just the pastors or leaders that are called to be the light. But it's you and me and every person who has their faith placed in Jesus Christ for salvation. Be the light. God bless you guys. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now that everyone who is watching and listening to this would step out in boldness and be the light in this dark world. But help us, Lord, to be a light with love. Not to be an abrasive thing, just yelling at people, you're a sinner, kind of yells, Lord, but help us to be the ones that truly show your love as we expose the darkness around us. Help us through our deeds and through our words. Help us through those things to show your love in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.